We are glad that you're here, and we're in week two of Mighty to Save. If you don't know me, my name is Dustin Woodward. I'm the pastor here, and welcome. And if you're newer, and I'm pivoting a little bit today from kind of what we would normally do, and I'll tell you why in a second. But if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 2. Mighty to Save, this series that we're doing through the month of August and into September, is all about the gospel and Jesus' mighty power to save. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him going to the cross. It's all about him coming out of that grave and the salvation we receive because of it. Last week, that's what we looked at. We looked at the radical grace that comes with salvation. We looked at our response of faith. And so if you weren't here last week, I would highly encourage you to go to YouTube and check out week one of Mighty to Save. But today, again, if you can turn to Mark chapter 2. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to tell you the story. But if you have your Bibles open, you can look at just the very first part of that chapter. And this is known as the story where the friends bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus for healing. So I'll kind of start just where the story starts. There are a group of four friends that are carrying a man that's paralyzed to go see Jesus. Jesus at this time is preaching in Capernaum, doing miracles in Capernaum, which is just a town right on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. It's early on in his ministry. This is when Jesus is first becoming popular. Everybody is finding out who he is. Crowds are following him everywhere that he goes. And this day, he's in Capernaum and he's teaching in a house. We don't know whose house, how big the house is. It's just a house. And then we also know the second part of this story is these four friends are bringing their paralyzed friend to come see Jesus. But as they approach the house is jammed. They're running late. Jesus is already teaching and they can't get their friend in the house. The story jumps to all of a sudden their friends, this guy's friends and the paralyzed guy are on the roof. And they are digging a hole in the roof of this house where Jesus is preaching. Now, you can imagine, like, every once in a while in church, there's little noises that take place. People will drop, you know, their Yeti cups or Stanley cups or whatever the new cup is that everybody's getting. And you'll hear, like, the clanging. So if somebody does it today, we're all going to be like, ha-ha. But, you know, every once in a while, there's a baby. Things are fine. Noises happen in groups of people. But can you imagine somebody drilling a hole in the roof right now? I know. I mean, you know, people's ADD can be overcome. But that cannot be overcome. So I'm teaching and someone's drilling a hole through the roof. We're going to stop whatever we're doing, right? But that's what these friends are doing. And they dig a hole in the roof. They lower their friend down to Jesus. And then once the friend is down in front of Jesus, Jesus responds. Can you imagine the anticipation in the room? You're thinking the very first thing Jesus is going to do is heal this guy. This guy's about to stand up and walk. But that's not the very first thing Jesus does. Jesus looks at this man. Looks at this man, looks at their faith, the friend's faith, then looks at this man and says, your sins are forgiven. Can you imagine being the guy or the friends who brought him? They're like, hold on, Jesus. That might be nice one day, but that is not why we came. That's not why we came. Now, don't get me wrong. His physical condition of being paralyzed is not tied to his sin, or we would all be paralyzed, right? That's not what Jesus was saying. But what Jesus was doing was this. He acknowledged the physical need that needed to be met. In just a few minutes, Jesus would heal him and he would stand up and walk out carrying his mat. But Jesus was establishing something. Jesus wasn't coming as a healer. Jesus was coming as a savior, as the one who could forgive. So the first thing he does for this man because of his faith and the faith of his friends is he forgives him and offers him salvation. Then he meets his physical need, which again shows us the objective of Jesus, that Jesus wants to come and restore spiritually and physically. And in order for people who are hurting and in need to get what they need from Jesus, sometimes we need to be just like the friends in this story, doing whatever it takes to get people who are in need to the one who can supply all their needs. Because he's mighty to save. He's mighty to save. At the very end of this passage, there's one verse. There's one last statement that stands out. The people around are watching all of this happen. And the man stands up and walks out of the room. And then the verse says, the people said, we've never seen anything like this. We've never seen anything like this. Now, most of the time, especially in this story, when we say that, It's out of elation, excitement. We're blown away by something in a good way, and we're saying, we've never seen anything like this. But there's that phrase, I've also heard that a lot this last week, but not from the side of the spectrum of excitement and elation, but from the people in our campus, our citizen church, Maui. They're in Maui going through everything they're going through with these fires. My initial plan for today was to just talk for about 5 to 7 minutes when all this stuff was first coming out, just to give some updates on what was happening with our campus in Maui. And if you're not familiar, hopefully you've seen this on the news that some massive wildfires hit Maui very close to our campus. And my plan was to stick to the script of preaching the sermon I had already written and worked on all week. But then Friday, as more news started coming in from our campus and our church people, I decided to pivot. And I am going to speak from this story in Mark chapter 2. But what I really feel like we need to do today is stop down and look at what's happening, because Maui, our Citizen Church Maui, is not a sister church. It's not just a church where they're good friends. We are them and they are us. It is Citizen Church and our congregation is hurting. Last Monday, we had great services here, great services in Maui, and I was excited to see the reports of what was happening. I had heard stories of they're having amazing services there. And so when I got the reports of attendance and salvation and new people that were coming, they had broken every record last week, our Maui campus. The highest attendance they've ever had in the history of the church. Almost 30 first-time guests. Tons of salvations last Sunday. People are getting baptized. It's really like a revival. They're coming off of last Sunday on this wave of excitement into Monday, and we're celebrating them as a staff, and it's amazing. And then I get a text Tuesday night from our campus pastor, Pastor Sarah Beckman, and the text just said, before I went to bed on Tuesday, it said, hey, there's a fire near Lahaina on the island. Can you just pray? And so prayed and went to bed, and I honestly didn't think a ton of it because there are fires every single year at this time on Maui. But what was different about this time is that there were 70 to 80 mile per hour winds because of a hurricane that was 400 miles off the coast. So a fire started. I woke up Wednesday morning to just text and miss phone calls, and then there was nothing because I later found out they lost all power, cell phone service, internet. The text and calls I did get and voicemails said that the fire had entered into Lahaina and had overtaken the entire town, and that's where most of our congregation lives. That's where most of the businesses were. And so immediately I'm, you know, in freak out mode, and I get to the church. I finally get, Sarah Beckman goes up to the mountain, finally gets cell phone service. I talk to her, and she is in the middle of the night there, and her and Craig are standing there, and she said, Dustin, I'm looking at Lahaina, and she said, it's all on fire. She said, it's gone. She's crying and they're emotional. And I'm sitting there thinking, there's no way the entire town's gone. There's no way. And later that morning, we ended up finding out it was true. I got, so we're going through all of this stuff. And what I want to do just for the first few minutes before I kind of unpack this scripture and tie where we're going with this in the future is this. I want to kind of walk through a little bit of the devastation to our campus. The reason why I was going to just talk about it for 5 to 7 minutes was because our building is fine. I want to show you a map of Maui and just kind of show you, just to give you a perspective on where all of this is. So this is all of Maui, East Maui, West Maui. And we're going to zoom in on West Maui because that's where most of this stuff is. So Lahaina is here. Most of the resorts on this side of the island are near Ka'anapali. So the Hyatt, Sheraton, Westin, all the big resorts are right there. And our church is where the citizen flag is. Now, that looks like a long ways, but it's only a 10 to 15 minute drive. So our address is, the street is actually called Lahaina that our church is on. Before we merged with this church, their church was called Lahaina Christian Fellowship. So it's all one big community. But the actual old town of Lahaina is what was on fire. And you can see this highway coming in here. That is the only highway where there is access in and out, easy access. The highway up on the top is complete cliffs. It's like 1.5 lanes. It's not even a 2-lane highway, extremely dangerous. And so the road has been completely sealed off. It's been crazy. So everybody has been stuck up at the church. But I wanted to show you and give you perspective on this. So immediately we're thinking, if the building isn't damaged, if the church people are okay, we're gonna do what we can with efforts to help everything, but I'll probably stick to the plan here and keep moving on with the series and my sermon. But then we started seeing the before and after real photos. And here's most of you have seen stuff like this, but this is the harbor right there at the Lahaina. And it looks like an atomic bomb went off in the town. And it ended up being that the whole town was destroyed. The fire, once it hit the actual town, went through the entire town in 45 minutes. There were traffic jams down on Front Street. People were running out of restaurants. You saw maybe in the news, people jumping into the harbor, but then the harbor caught on fire because the diesel fuel exploded. There's been so much happening. The latest death toll, I think, is in the 90s is what they're reporting. But as of 2 days ago, there were 1,700 people missing. So us talking to authorities on the island, they're expecting the death toll to go beyond 1,000 people. So our news here is doing the best they can, but they're not there on the ground talking and seeing what's going on. There's a lot of things happening, and this is why we're devoting it. We have one of the ladies in our congregation got a video that she filmed to Sarah. Sarah got it to me, and this was her trying to escape. She was shopping and pulling out of the parking lot, and this is her trying to get out of Lahaina, but also trying to film some of the fire. So you can see the speed that this is moving. This is just a person in our church driving right there in the center of town. When she goes through this intersection, the camera's gonna go left, and you can see the flames in perspective on how fast this thing is just bulldozing through the town. The sirens didn't go off because the power was down or something happened with the sirens. All the cell phone emergency stuff couldn't happen because all of the cell phone towers were down because of the wind. And so people just assumed that things were happening like that because of the wind and the power was out. So people were literally eating in restaurants as the fire is sweeping through, and they're trying to run out of restaurants. And the stories that we're hearing from witnesses that were seeing all this from the congregation are pretty dark and frightening. The New York Times, just to show you this, posted a video on social media. I want to show you a little bit of this, just some before and after stuff that they caught. It's about 3 minutes, I think, 2 or 3 minutes. When we first got word of what was going on, we were hearing stories of maybe 1, 2, or 3 people in our congregation that lost their homes, and we were devastated at that news. One of the other reasons we're devoting a whole Sunday to this, because our congregation is hurting, is the final numbers of people in our church that completely lost their homes has now exceeded 25 families. 25 families, which represents between 150 and 175 people in our church, which is right at 50% of the entire congregation lost their homes. This is going to be something that is going to be a part of who we are for a while, because again, they're not just a distant church, they're us, they're citizen church, and we care deeply for them. The family on the top left here, Brad and Kelly Emmerich and their daughter, they are core founding members of the church. We merged with this church about 5 years ago, an existing church, and it became Citizen Church. The church was called Lahaina Christian Fellowship, and Brad was one of the founding members, and his home was one of the homes that burned to the ground. He's a contractor, built their home over the course of 20 years, dream home, been locals on the island for most of their lives. He's also the general contractor that built the building, Citizen Church Maui. And Mercy Chefs, one of the organizations that's there, did a little piece on him a couple days ago and took these photos of him in front of his house. I had an opportunity to talk with him on the phone a couple of days ago, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in a few minutes. But the devastation is real. We only have 4 staff members, and two of them lost their homes. Pastor Juan and Marisol, who are associate pastors there and also oversee our Spanish congregation, Spanish-speaking congregation, they lost their home. And then also Sarita, who is our head admin at the church, lost their homes. It's a big deal. It's heavy, but there's hope. And that's the nature of the world we live in. But then we know the nature of God. And he's good, and he's mighty to save. And we can lean on him and have hope and anchor in him. I think that's pretty powerful. At the end of the story of Mark 2, I told you there was that statement where the people said, we've never seen anything like this. Now, again, on one end of the spectrum, it's excitement. On the other end of the spectrum, this week, all I've heard from Maui congregation and our people is, we've never seen anything like this. We've never, and it's in distress, we've never seen anything like this. The moment I started hearing that from our people there, and then knowing what this story says at the end, here has been my prayer since the moment that we heard about this and started experiencing this with our church family, was I am praying that God is glorified at the level, that the church is raised up at the level, that people can look like Jesus at the level, where people will stop saying, we've never seen anything like this before in distress, and move to saying in a few months or even a year from now, we've never seen anything like this. We've never seen the church like this. We've never seen Christians like this. I've never known a God like this. And I believe there is an opportunity in every disaster to look more and more like Jesus in it, where the church can become more and more like what it's supposed to be in the world and in moments of distress. I wanna hit a few things from this story, and I'm gonna kind of weave what's going on in Maui in and out of these few points today. But meeting physical and spiritual needs, just like Jesus did in this story, requires a few things. And number one, it requires, and this is what it's gonna require of us, we are the friends in the story, taking our family and friends that are in need of Jesus, right? The first thing that it requires is a spirit of action. Mark 2:3 says, some men came, bringing to him, Jesus, a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. So the story starts with Jesus teaching, and then it jumps to, so some men carried their friend. They're carrying this guy. It doesn't talk about them having a committee meeting, talking about it for 3 weeks. It doesn't even say they had a prayer meeting about it. Prayer is powerful, and that's how we're ending the service. But it starts with saying his friends did something. Their friend was in crisis, and the friends just said, we're taking him to Jesus. We're gonna act. We're gonna do something immediately. And I'm so thankful that we're a church of action. We have a staff of action. Our staff there is of action. Our congregation there is a church of action. After Sarah, I talked to Sarah Wednesday morning early. I met with our staff. I called an all-staff meeting at 9 o'clock. We met up in the offices in an open space, and I told them all the details about what was going on because the news wasn't reporting on it yet because nobody knew what was really happening because all technology and everything was down. And so I said, this is what's happening. It's about to break. It's going to be huge. So we're going to put everything on pause here for this campus, and today for the rest of the week or how long, we're going all in, all hands on deck, and we're gonna solve every problem we can solve from here for Maui because they need us. All comms are down, internet's down, cell phones are down. What can we do here to solve problems for them there? And let me tell you something, guys, I'm always proud of our staff, but I have never been more proud of our staff than I was this week, watching the level of project management, strategy, problem solving, and unquestioned action. And it's just like, what you need us to do, we're gonna do it, we're gonna solve problems. We got a hold of Convoy of Hope, a worldwide organization that handles disasters, and we worked with them and got them to be there. They're coming on Wednesday of this week, and they're bringing 40,000 pounds of food and supplies and everything for our church and for the surrounding area. We partnered with Mercy Chefs. Mercy Chefs got there on Friday. I mean, they hit the ground running when they found out there was a problem. They got there. There was a huge restaurant that opened up their kitchen right up the street from where we are. We got a generator for them, and they're serving all of the food for that whole area of the island out of our church parking lot, and Mercy's chefs showed up. So it's so cool to see what's going on, but we have a church and we have people of action that are doing things. And so some of the photos that were scrolling behind me is exciting because the people there, although they are losing their homes, they're serving. It's amazing to see that in the middle of complete loss, they're saying, but we're the hope that people have. Jesus through us. And they're serving and they're serving and they're serving. It's amazing. Pastor Chris Cunningham, one of our executive pastors here, along with Brandon Harwell, one of our awesome volunteers, we needed boots on the ground there quickly to help problem solve there and to get the scope. And so we flew them out there, and Chris is there now. He got there Friday, and he's been serving and helping. He got with Sarah, and they filmed a quick video and where Sarah can kind of address you guys and keep you updated on what's going on. Take a look.
Hey, church family. I'm here with our campus pastor, Sarah Beckman, here in Maui at our Maui campus. And we got out here, Brandon Harwell, myself, on Friday, and it's just been moving. The team's been incredible. Pastor Sarah, let us know what's been happening and what we're doing for the community as we move forward.
Yeah. So we got word that the fires started on Tuesday evening, and that was down in Lahaina. It's 15 minutes away from the church. Fire was moving rapidly. We immediately, when we got the call, we went into our disaster protocol, which is something we're ready for, and got the church ready. And within a half hour, we had families showing up who were being evacuated to the church. At the beginning, we were basically a shelter, and we were cooking and feeding people and praying. And that was like 24 to 36 hours. And then we just started receiving the community. And by the morning, second morning, it just became a haven for people to look for loved ones, to meet with people, to sit and cry, to pray, to get food. Our team is phenomenal. And they basically have been cooking nonstop, three meals a day for 3 days straight. Over 2,000 meals have been served. We've had, when we were counting, 780 plus people, and that's just what we counted in a few days' time, people that individually have come through the church. We've been readied and postured for two major disaster relief organizations to partner with us here in Maui, one of which is Mercy Chefs, and they do international food feeding. And so they're going to take the weight, and they're going to cook, and we're going to send it out to the community and feed people here on property. And we're preparing for a Convoy of Hope to come next week through amazing partnerships in Albuquerque, and they're going to be helping with those long-term needs and things that we're going to give them. A 40,000-pound delivery is coming to the church next week, and or this week. And, you know, the devastation is very hard to fathom, and I know you're all seeing more on the news than we're seeing even here because we don't have internet. We can make texts or calls occasionally. So it's an isolated, scary bubble to be in. And the stories are pouring in with each individual person that comes. And many, many, I am trying to tally, many of our church family have lost their homes. I'm guessing it'll get to as high as 50% of our church family. And still people are looking for loved ones. And that part is so devastating that you get an adrenaline and you try to just serve and love your community. And that's what Citizen was born for. And so we're honored to be part of it. We're standing firm in Maui. We will stay here with your support, with your help. And we're just super committed because that's what Citizen Church does. And so thanks for all your partnership and your prayers, and all the financial contributions already so far have helped us just not think twice about helping people. And so we're so grateful, and that's we know right. You're with us.
That's right.
Amazing. So I'm going out there on Tuesday with Pastor Nick, and we're going to be out there for about a week. It's killing me not being there, but I felt like I needed to stay and update you guys on what was going on and kind of rally the troops around the truth about how this has impacted our congregation. But guys, our congregation is hurting so bad. We have had one 14-year-old young man lose his life in the fire. His family couldn't find him for the first 48 hours. They found him. He was not alive. And they are leveled and devastated. There are people in our church who cannot still find loved ones. They're missing. And in a few minutes, we're going to pray for outright miracles that the people who are missing are somehow somewhere on the island, but just not able to contact people. And guys, this is something that is so real and heavy, but at the same time, we're a church of action, and we're going to do everything that we can. Number two is this: meeting physical and spiritual needs requires a spirit of faith. A spirit of faith. You look at the guys in the story that brought their friend to Jesus. Mark 2:5 says this. So they're lowering him down, right? And then of all things, it says this: when Jesus saw their faith. I love this story because it doesn't say when Jesus saw his faith, the paralyzed man laying on the ground. It said when Jesus saw their faith, he offered forgiveness and healing. Which means that when people are hurting, sometimes their faith falters. But it's up to the people who aren't in that season. It's up to the people who aren't in the midst of loss that can carry the weight and say, if they're in a moment of weakness in faith, we will shoulder their faith for them. We will have faith when they can't have faith. Let me be honest with you. Our congregation there right now is resilient. They are hopeful. They are optimistic. But there will be moments, because we are human, there will be moments and seasons where their faith is weak and it is lacking. And that is not anything against them. We all go through that. But in those seasons, can we as a congregation say, in those seasons for you, we will shoulder the faith for you. We will carry the faith for you. So when Jesus says, where's the faith? He can say, I see their faith. That's what our job is going to be. Yes. Romans 15, 1-6 says this: those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just to do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles. He but waded right in and helped out. That's going to be our call, and that's going to be our anthem over the next few months, is not running from trouble. And I know that's not how we're wired. That's not how you're wired. But we're going to go into the trouble, and we're going to help shoulder and carry the weight of the pain that people are going through. Number three is this: meeting physical and spiritual needs requires a spirit of compassion. A spirit of compassion. This is simple and short and quick. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. They know it because they've said it, and we know it because it's reality. There are news cycles, and once this news cycle is over and people have moved on to the next disaster, the world will look away from what's happening here, and we will move on to the next thing. But we don't have that luxury, because Citizen Church Maui is us and we are them. Compassion means empathy and us understanding this. In 6 months from now, in 9 months from now, in a year from now, who knows? What I'm asking you is, if we are still talking about this some in a year from now, what I'm asking for you is today to commit to compassion and empathy, and for us to never get to the point of saying, how long are we going to talk about what happened in Maui? And I know that's not our heart, but I also know that we need a reminder, because humans aren't naturally gifted with empathy. And so it's one of those things for us where we go, hey, they're hurting, our congregation is hurting. What would I need if I lost my home? What kind of compassion would I desire if I lost my business, if I lost a loved one, if I can't find a loved one? What kind of compassion would I need? And that's what kind of compassion we're going to give. The people in the story, the young men who carried their friend in the story, were compassionate. Jesus was compassionate, and we will be too. Number four, meeting physical and spiritual needs requires a spirit of collaboration. A spirit of collaboration. I've cried a lot of tears this week. Our staff has cried a lot of tears this week. We have mourned over what is going on. Every new piece of information with loss, we grieve all over again. These are amazing people real people with real stories, that this is impacting them greatly. But I've also cried many tears of joy this week, because I have witnessed so much collaboration within the church, the body of Christ. In the story, Mark chapter 2, again it says, some men came bringing to him, Jesus, a paralyzed man, carried by four of them, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus. I love that in this story, it was not one person who brought a friend. It had to be a them and a they. It had to be a group, and they had to collaborate. They had to work together. They had an objective to get their hurting friend to Jesus, and they worked together and overcame obstacles to get to Jesus. And like I said, I am thrilled with the level of collaboration that has happened with this so far. From the moment people started finding out about this with churches around the country, there was no such thing as, well, I'm Catholic and I'm Baptist and I'm Pentecostal and I'm this. It has just been the Church of Jesus Christ. We have had every church across the spectrum say, how can we help? Do you need money? Can we send stuff? It's been amazing. Even churches on the other side of the island, the whole highway has been shut down and people can't get through. But this is kind of cool. I forgot to say this in the first two services. The actual password to get through the barriers, I promise you this is real, is I'm working with Citizen Church. That's the actual passage. Like people, that's how they're getting through to get to our property to help people. But what's been so amazing is sometimes the loads are too big and they can't get trucks in. So there are pastors on the other side of the island that Sarah knows because she's the admin and coordinates this pastor's gathering twice a month. That's an hour away on the other side of the island. Her and Craig has teased her sometimes going, Sarah, why are you adding another thing to your plate to coordinate all of these things? And she was like, because I need friends and I got to know pastors. And so she goes over there twice a month. What's been so amazing is the relationship she's built in that group. Those pastors have moved heaven and earth, gone through hell and high water to get our campus everything they need. The photos I showed you a little while ago with the catamaran that came up onto the beach, they're not even supposed to do that. They're not even supposed to do that. But pastors in their church said, hey, does anybody own a boat, a catamaran? We can load all this equipment up for Citizen Church. They're feeding people. They're the only church that's open on that side that's helping people. And so people went through these barriers and all kinds of things. You know, sometimes you just got to go, it's for Jesus. It's for Jesus. But they pulled up onto the beach and unloading. They're doing everything they possibly can. At the very beginning of all this, power was out. We had no power in our campus there. It was huge because you can't feed people. You can't house people. It was crazy. The pastors on the other side of the island gathered generators, huge generators, and coordinated with our staff to go through the barrier and to get our campus generators so we could house people that were homeless, feed people out of the campus. And Pastor Sarah, the first day all this was happening, she didn't know they were coming until they finally got a hold of us and coordinated with some of our guys. But she was surprised that these pastors had been working for an entire day and bringing our church generators. And she filmed the moment they pulled up. And I just want to show you this really quick.
This pastor is crying because we have the goods and I can't even handle myself right now. Generator, Val, I think Carl's in there. And here's Tavei with another generator. Come on, Jesus!
It's just been so cool because you'll hear people say, and there's no validity to it, truly, there's no statistics to it, but people say the church is dying, the church is never gonna, I'll tell you, it's moments like this where the church shines, where people take down all the barriers that divide us and say, we're just the church. What do you need? But not only that, Christian organizations, Convoy of Hope, Mercy Chefs, World Help has a worldwide organization with a network all over the world. They put our Citizen Church Maui Relief Fund on an email and sent it to their entire database asking people to donate to our efforts on the island. It's been unbelievable seeing what people are doing. And just a side note, I want you to pay attention more. I wish I would have more in the past. I want you to pay attention more to disasters like this and watch the only organizations there for the first 48 to 72 hours. The only people doing anything in these disasters are Christians. Government has too much red tape, the bureaucracy, people need the credit in government. Well, it's gotta be this and this senator and that congressperson and this, and we've got the mayor, the governor, who's making the calls. With the church, it's just boom, let's go. Convoy of Hope and Mercy Chefs and all these other churches, it's just unbelievable to see. So I shudder at the thought of if Christians weren't on the island and Christian organizations weren't a part of this and churches weren't a part of this, what would the island look like? And it would be only devastation for the first 48 to 72 hours. So don't let people tell you that these Christian organizations don't matter, that the church is dying, because it is not. It is alive and we are collaborating and I am so excited about it. Number five is this. Meeting physical and spiritual needs requires a spirit of creative perseverance. Creative perseverance. Mark 2:4 says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Keep this up just for a second. Now, we can have fun for a moment because I want you to see how many gaps there are in this. I've got questions. When I read stories like this, I've got questions. Anybody else just like to question things? I question things. Here, I'll tell you what I'm questioning. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof. There's a whole lot that has to be done between they're on the ground, can't get into the house, and then they're on the roof. I gotta know, how did they get on the roof? How did four guys and a paralyzed guy get on the roof? I gotta know. Did they bring a ladder? Did they build one? Did they steal one for Jesus? I don't know. How did they get up on the roof? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're on the roof. And by the way, they're digging a hole. Did they bring a jackhammer? It's like an adobe concrete. And how are they, did they bring hammer? How are they getting, oh, they got the hole, cool. Then they lowered him down. How? Did they bring a rope? Did they fashion a rope? Did they steal the rope? I've got questions. Because when I see that, I don't see a simple little story of nice people that had an easy day of getting their friend to Jesus. I see obstacle after obstacle after obstacle that takes creative perseverance to finish the job. And with this, it's gonna be a long season. It's gonna be weeks and it's gonna be months. I'll tell you this, we have a lot of things to do here. We're not stopping what we're doing in Albuquerque. We're opening a campus, a new North Campus this next spring. We're opening a preschool at that North Campus next year. We've got a lot of things happening this fall. We're not stopping what we're doing, but I am telling you, this is gonna be a huge part of what we're adding to what we're doing. We are not gonna let our family there suffer, and it's gonna take creative perseverance. There are gonna be obstacles. There are gonna be seasons where there's people are saying there is no way, but we are gonna figure it out. We're gonna get on the roof. We're gonna dig the hole, and we're gonna get our friends and our family to Jesus, and so he can meet all of their needs, physical and spiritual. It's gonna take creative perseverance. Creative perseverance. So people ask, what's next? So where do we go from here? It's so unbelievably daunting. We don't have all of the answers. Like I mentioned, I'm going out on Tuesday. I'll be there for a week. My job when I go out there is to just love on people and assess the situation. I love these people dearly. They are our family and they are our friends. I think we had 25 of the teenagers from Maui come to camp and get baptized or some number like that just about a month and a half ago. As I'm sitting here this morning on the front row, I'm looking over there, remember all these teenagers, the smiles on their faces coming out of the water, excited about this new life with Jesus, and many of them just lost their homes. Some of them won't know where their family members are. There's a 14-year-old who lost his life. And this is gonna take perseverance. It's gonna take us sticking with it, and it's gonna take us looking people in the eyes there and saying, Albuquerque has your back. We're gonna follow through, and we're with you from now till the very end. Now till the very end. That's my promise. Every time I get on the phone with someone, my promise to them is, we're with you to the end of this, however long that takes. You will feel the support from your Albuquerque campus. So, what I want to do, the next steps are this. Over the next few months, we don't have all the details yet. This part of what I'm doing is I'm going to go and assess where we're at. A lot of people are saying, can I go? What can I do? Right in this moment, more people is not necessarily what we need. We're needing funds for long-term help because there are 25 homes we're going to need to rebuild. Some have insurance, some don't. We're going to need to help. We're going to need supplies. We're going to need eventually people to go. We're going to need contractors, builders, specialists in different kinds of areas. We're going to eventually start planning out, hopefully in the next few weeks or months, we'll give you dates on missions trips we're going to be taking. Once all the permitting is in the city's allowing rebuilding and efforts, we want our church to have a presence there. We want people to experience it and for these two congregations to be one and for us to bless them immensely. But in this moment, the greatest need is going to be finances so we can go and look people in the eyes and say, don't stress, you're gonna be okay. That's what I wanna do on Tuesday, is say, don't stress, you're gonna be okay. Tell your kids, you're going to be okay. You're gonna be okay. That's what I wanna do. I mentioned the collaboration from other churches. The moment people started hearing about this and our relief fund went up within 2 hours of our staff that morning, people were designing things, the webpage, the relief fund, the organization. We have amazing staff members that did so much. The moment the relief fund went up on social media, I had immediately pastors started calling me. I had a pastor friend, a mentor of mine from Dallas call and say, we're giving $10,000 right now. Another church from Utah that we became friends with this summer said, we just put $10,000 in right now. We've had pastors, 10 to 12 pastors this morning said they're taking miracle offerings in the middle of their service at churches to give to this relief fund because to help rebuild the lives of the people in our congregation. How amazing is that? Every denomination, every kind of church, but it's also gonna take us doing the best we can do. So there's a QR code. This is something that we'll have for a while. It's obviously nice to have an initial boost right now, but this is something I definitely would like you to think about, pray about. But here's what I know. God multiplies our best. So whatever your best is, that's it. And let God multiply it. If your best is $5 at some point, do $5. God will multiply that. If your best is 5 million, glory to God, God will multiply that too. Maybe I just spoke to someone, that was prophetic. But I'm telling you this is my promise. I'm looking you in the eyes, this is my promise. Every penny of this relief fund is going to rebuilding the lives of people in that church and on the island. All of it, every single penny, okay? So if you've ever had a question in your mind, there's a lot of accountability on it, a lot of eyes on it. It's going to rebuilding lives. That's what it's going to. We're getting our friends to Jesus. We're getting them through that roof, and we're gonna do whatever it takes to rebuild and restore lives. We're gonna end today with prayer points. And we have, I think, just a few bullet points up here. These came from the congregation in Maui. These are the main bullet points that they're asking for prayer. We're gonna put this on social media this afternoon and would love for you to pray as a family, maybe when you're at dinner, before you go to bed, and just everything you can do. Because prayer, guys, I'm telling you, it's not a last resort, it's a first step. It's something we have to do. The first thing is families that have lost loved ones and homes. And I think we can add a little bit to this and even say for the families who have missing loved ones. We're gonna pray for stability, strength, and we're gonna pray for miracles that people missing will be found alive. We're praying for answers for long-term housing. All of these people that are homeless in our church, it's 150 to 175 instantly. We're gonna pray for miracles of long-term housing. Can I tell you one little quick, I'm good on time. Oh yeah, we're good. I'm gonna tell you one quick little miracle story. Because all through this massive tragedy, there's these little miracles. Isn't that, it's just like God to do that. So Mandy and I went out in March and we were at dinner with Pastor Sarah and Craig there in Maui. And Sarah was kind of teasing Craig and she was like, you'll never believe Craig's new endeavor. And we were laughing like, what is it? She goes, well, he just became the HOA president of our whole condo complex. And she was like, Craig, like we need one more thing, right? I guess they say that a lot to each other. Like we need one more thing. And he was laughing. He's like, I can't help it. I just got to get involved. It's a great way to get to know people. And I love people and I whatever. So here's what's crazy. When I was talking to her on the phone a couple days ago, she said, Dustin, remember when I was teasing Craig at that dinner about being the president of HOA? She said, all of these condos are vacant and he's been emailing people. And so far we already have 6 condo owners say, use them for your congregation. Isn't that amazing? So we're gonna pray for miracles like that. We're gonna pray for miracles that condo owners and hotel owners are just gonna open up their doors and not necessarily wait for the government to pay for everything, but even miracles financially for them. If they're opening up their doors, we're gonna pray that God blesses them and brings financial miracles to their lives. We're gonna pray for strength and perseverance for staff and volunteers. I said this in the other two services too, it's so important to remember this. Pastor Sarah and Craig, their first week as pastors in Maui, very first week was the week before the pandemic started. They have only known disaster as pastors. They have carried so much weight. I can't even imagine. This has been a major focal point of my prayer this week is God, sustain them. They are tenacious and driven and amazing and godly, but they're human. And they're gonna need us praying for them. Pastor Juan and Marisol who lost their house, Sarita who lost their house. When Juan found out that they lost their house, he's serving people and feeding people. And he didn't even take a second to think about it. I can't mourn that loss, I'm serving people. For the first few days he barely slept because he couldn't stomach even leaving the church to go sleep because so many people are in need. In that video, it said that we had fed 2,000 people. Since that video, that number has grown to 5,000 meals and over 1,000 individuals have checked in at our church. Some sleeping there, only getting food there. There's a lot going on, but we're gonna pray that our staff is strengthened and our volunteers. We're gonna pray for serving opportunities on the island as a whole to show the island who the church can be. And then we're gonna pray for peace for families and children feeling uncertainty. One of the things that they told us is that the look in children's eyes is just this overwhelming blank stare of anxiety and fear. They're having church. They're about to start their service this morning. They're having church and they're expecting the entire thing to be packed. They're gonna have kids service, and we're gonna pray that when those kids go into their kids service, that there's gonna be warring angels surrounding them, and that they're gonna have peace and joy, and that fear will subside and they can just rest in the presence of God. And we're gonna pray for the congregation as a whole. Their NBC News is having us film our service and turn it into NBC News. And what I'm praying, if that goes nationwide or whatever, I don't know, but what I'm praying is that when people see that all over the country or wherever it's shown, when people see that, they're gonna ask, how are they doing that when they've lost everything? I'm praying with everything in me that it's a beacon of hope and light for people. We're gonna pray for hope over defeat, and that's long-term. That in the middle of being defeated, that there's an anchor of hope throughout the entire thing. Can you guys stand with me on that? Let's stand at this time, and we're gonna pray, and that's how we're gonna close service today. I'm gonna pray over each of these bullet points, and if you're comfortable praying out loud, let's do that. Let's just bombard heaven. Is that okay? Let's pray on their behalf today, and next week we'll be going back into the series fully, but for right now, we're all in on standing in the gap for our congregation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for being a good God, even in the midst of disaster. And God, I pray today for the families that have lost loved ones, that you would bring the peace that surpasses all understanding that you talk about in your word. God, bring a strength that surpasses understanding. God, I pray for those that are missing and lost right now. God, I pray that somehow there are miracle stories of people being found, the people that are missing. Maybe they got into a house or a different place and just couldn't contact people. God, we're praying for miracles for those that are missing. God, we're praying for answers for long-term housing. First of all, we praise you and we thank you for some of the answers right now. But God, we need big, long-term answers for those who are homeless right now, Father. Open up doors that only you can open. God, speak to the hearts and minds of people who have access to these kinds of resources, Father. God, we pray for strength and perseverance for staff and volunteers. God, we stop down in our service right now, and we pray for Sarah, and we pray for Craig. We pray for Juan, Marisol, and Sarita, Father. We stand on their behalf as they're about to lead this church service there with all of these hurting people, all of the questions on why and how, and is God still good? Father, we pray that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them strength, God, that your Holy Spirit would operate through them, and that there could be a revival experience in that church service today in the midst of so much devastation. God, we pray for our volunteers and everyone that is just serving and the exhaustion. Empower them today and bring strength to their bodies. God, we pray for opportunities to serve the island as a whole, to be a demonstration of who you are, your love, and what the church can be and should be, God, that we could change the minds and hearts of people because of what you've commissioned us to do. God, we pray for peace for families and children feeling uncertainty. God, right now, as the children are gathering in that kids' auditorium in Maui, God, I pray for those kids. God, I pray right now as those children are worshiping and they're opening up their hands to you, God. They are children, yes, but their faith is big and their minds are open. And I pray, Holy Spirit, speak strength to them, empower them, give them a power that they can't have on their own, God. Give them a peace in their mind and remove anxiety and give them confidence and uncertainty, God. We pray for our children that you would guard them through this, that they would come out unscathed and unharmed. God, they would walk through the trauma, the fire of trauma, without smelling like smoke, Father. We thank you for that. And God, we pray for hope over defeat. God, we pray that there would be the anchor of hope in people's hearts over the defeat, God, of being distraught and fear and anxiety of how the finances are gonna come and all of the what ifs and the thoughts of the future, Father. God, right there in that church today, that the message would be hope, that they would leave with hope, God, and we just pray this over our congregation and over the island. God, we thank you for allowing us to stand in the gap and fight for those who need our help. We thank you and we praise you, and in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.